Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Words from Luke chapter 4, verse 1. This is the beginning of the season of Lent, and in many churches it's a time of denying yourself something that you enjoy, maybe meat or fish or cookies or whatever, or something more serious. In our church, it's generally seen as a time of introspection, a time to take stock of ourselves and see where there's something that needs some fixing, and to put our minds to the task of doing that. And we know that if it's something that really needs changing, it's not going to change easily. Any one of us, and I think that probably includes all of us, who's tried to overcome a bad habit or to take a look at anything about ourselves and change ourselves for the better, has found out that aspects of our personality that we want to change don't just roll over and play dead because we want them to go away. They tend to stick around and struggle and fight against us and hang on to the bitter end, because they want to control us, and we want to be in control of them. We want to be in control of our own lives. So this is a time for us not only to take stock of ourselves, but also to realize that if we're going to improve ourselves as people, we are going to be facing struggles and temptations. And I think it's very much in the spirit of the commitment that we make to spiritual life and what it involves, that the temptation that Jesus went through in the wilderness took place right after the beginning of his public ministry. He had just at this point, in a sense, come out to the people. He had been baptized by John in the Jordan, a very public act to begin his ministry. And it was immediately after his baptism, after the Spirit of God had come down upon him like a dove, and God had spoken to the people, saying, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased with. Listen to him." It was right after the inspiration of that moment that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and where he was tempted by the devil. And I think all of us have probably had the experience of when we've made a new commitment in our life, when we've decided this is the time to turn over the new leaf, that is exactly when we enter into the period of struggle, because the old me does not just roll over and play dead. The old me hangs on. And now we have a struggle on our hands. And I find it comforting that the Lord went through that struggle before us. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, that the Lord was tempted in all points, just as we are. Or we could say tempted on all levels, just as we are. And that yet there's a distinction. It says, yet without sinning. I think every one of us has to recognize that at times we've actually given in to the temptation. We've fallen back into our old habits. We have done things that we know are not right. And some of us have fallen into very dreadful things that we've had to struggle our way out of. There is, in fact, a distinction between the Lord's temptations and ours, and that is, A, he faced all of the fury of the hells, but B, he never did give in. And that can be an inspiration to us, making us realize that at least somebody has actually won. Sometimes it can get disheartening to think, I seem to be losing more than I'm winning. To know that there is someone who has won, someone we can turn to, who knows the struggle and has gone through and can help us through, that to me is a great comfort. So we are also tempted, but we are tempted in our own smaller sphere. We're tempted in our own personal struggles, our own struggles with our family, our own struggles with society. And what I'd like to look at this morning as we move forward is the different levels of temptation or trial that we go through. Because it says the Lord was tempted at all points. And in our reading from Swedenborg, it says we're tempted at all levels. And there are really three basic levels to ourselves, to our lives, that we can think of ourselves being tempted on. And those are summarized in the words head, heart, and hands. Each one of us has a thinking mind that we bring forward into our life through which we see the things around us. Each one of us, of course, has a heart, the things that we love, the things that we hold dear, and the people that we hold dear. And each one of us also has hands. We have the things that we do. And this represents the basic Trinity in God and in our Swedenborgian beliefs, that there is the love at the center, there is the thought that gives it form, and there is the action that makes it real in the world. And we can be tempted on all those levels And we are tempted on all those levels. We are tempted to say and do things that we know are not right. We are tempted to give in and just think as society wants us to think, rather than thinking the way that we believe in our heart is the way that's going to lead us forward. And we are tempted to give up, to let our loves be dragged down, and to not express the great love that is within us, the love that the Lord has put within us. On each of these levels, we are tempted. When it comes to the temptations of action, there are many messages coming to us from the world. There are many messages coming through the media. There are many messages coming from the people around us saying, just do what everybody else does. Just follow what everybody else follows, and everything will be fine for you. If you do what society tells you, if you live according to the way we say you should, then things will be fine. And many of us, I believe, have other aspirations. We believe perhaps there are things about society that aren't quite right. Perhaps there are ways that society tells us to act that we shouldn't act. And then we have a struggle. Because if we do it our way, the way we believe is right, and often we think it's not my way, it's the way that I'm being guided to do, then we come into conflict with those who say, no, you shouldn't do that. Just put your head down, because it's the nail that sticks up that gets pounded down. Don't rock the boat. Just go along and you get along. Many of us have faced this in our workplace situations. Many have faced this in our social situations. And we have a struggle. Will I say and do what I know is right? Or will I go along and not make trouble? And this can be very difficult to face. We also are tempted at the same time in our thinking, because the thinking behind this is, for society, the important thing is that you get along, that you do well in this world, that you make decent money, that you have a nice house and car and clothing, that you follow along. These are the values that are important, all the things of this world. And they are very seductive, and they're also very necessary. We must have enough to eat. We must have enough to put a roof over our heads, to take care of our children, to take care of our elders. We must be able to do that. And the temptation is, it'd be better for me just to focus on those things and not worry about all these other aspirations that I have. And so there are values of the world. There are values that say, the important thing is how much money you make. The important thing is how stylish you are. The important thing is your status in society. That's what's important. And you should order your thinking around those. And yet I think every one of us wouldn't be in this church today if we didn't have other aspirations for our life. If we didn't believe that perhaps it's not about what I can get in this life. Perhaps it's not even about how I can provide for my family. Perhaps it's how I can provide for the well-being of my community, provide for the well-being of this world, even when they don't want that kind of help. I think all of us have higher aspirations for what we want to do with our life, and our thinking will go along with that. No, the important thing isn't what you have in this world. The important thing is the values of social and spiritual life. The important thing is following the Lord's way and doing what is good in every situation, not just for the short term, but for the long term. And so we have a struggle in our mind between what the world is telling us and what we're hearing from within as the truth of the Lord. And then we are tempted in our hearts. And these, as our teachings point out, are the most difficult thing of all. Swedenborg says, if it doesn't touch our heart, it's not really temptation. Because the outward actions, the thinking, those are not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is, what do we love? What do we find most important in life? What gets our heart racing? What makes us move up? What makes us get up in the morning? What moves us forward? And there are a number of different things that could move us forward. Of course, all those other things that I mentioned could. Money and power, status and all of those things, these move many people. That is what gets many people up in the morning. Today, I'm going to make a lot of money. Today, I'm going to get that promotion. Today, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Many people are moved by this, and these things give satisfaction for a time, and yet they don't give long-term satisfaction. And I believe that the Lord allows us to try out all the things that we think are going to give us happiness, to see whether it does. We are allowed to follow through on the money thing. We are allowed to make great piles of money if that is what we desire. Find out. if that gives us happiness. We're able to lord it over those around us, or at least think that we do. Sometimes they just are humoring us, but we're able to give orders and commands and to control everything around us. Find out, does that give me happiness? And if we are paying attention, we eventually find that it does not. Because there are only two basic things that can be in our heart that will truly give us happiness. And those are the two that the Lord showed us, that taught us. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Only those two will bring us happiness in the long term and not just in the short term. Only when we love to do God's will, when we love to show God's love to others, will we have long-term happiness. And only when we have the good of our neighbor, the good of all those people around us, even the ones who would annoy the heck out of us, when we have the good of all those people in our heart, then we have true fulfillment. So we have all these struggles and temptations, and they're dragging us one way and the other. I had my son set up the army guys down there, and they're all arranged around David. And this is how we can feel sometimes when we're trying to think and do and feel the right thing, and yet there are so many forces pushing us in the other direction. We can feel like the whole world is surrounding us and hemming us in, and we are unable to move. We're unable to do anything because the forces against us are so great. And this really gets to the heart of temptation. Because at the bottom, temptation is not really the temptation to do what is right or wrong, to think what is right or wrong, to feel what's right or wrong. That is a lower level of temptation. The heart of temptation is the temptation simply to give up, simply to say it's no use, simply to reach the point of despair. And unless we've hit the point of despair, we have not gone through the depths of temptation. That is the point at which God is bringing us. Perhaps it's the devil that's bringing us there. Perhaps it's the evil. But God is allowing us to hit that point of despair. And I think many, if not all of us, have hit that point of despair. And at that time, we may cry out, as Jesus did on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We may feel that God is absent from us. And yet that is exactly the point at which we recognize that we need God's help. Because our tendency, our desire, our ego tells us, I can handle this. I can take care of this. I can deal with this situation. And we go ahead and try on our own power, saying, I'm going to knock this thing. I'm going to overcome it. And we find, as we face the deeper issues, that we cannot. We find that in our own power, we are not sufficient to overcome these deep trials and struggles that we're facing. And it is exactly at the point of despair that we say, I'm not strong enough. I can't do this by myself. I must have someone's help. I must have the help of a greater power. I must turn to God at this point, or I will go down to the pit, to use the phrasing of the Psalms. It is exactly at the point of despair that we finally give up control of our own life, at least in some measure, and say, here it is, Lord. You need to take care of this. You need to come into my life because I am not strong enough on my own. That is the depth of temptation. That is the point where we finally let go and let God. That is the point where we finally let the Lord into our lives, give the Lord control, and release our own control. And that is exactly what the Lord did in his life. He let go right unto death his control of his life and handed it over to the Lord. He said, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. And it was at that point that he was glorified. And it's at that point, when we give up our own control, when we allow the Lord to be the power in our life, that we finally find that our angel self can come through. Because God has created each one of us to be an angel. He has put it in there in our souls. And he is only waiting for us to take off those coverings of ego and control, those coverings of material desires. He is only waiting for us to take off those coverings and let that angel self in us shine through.